for a few minutes. So our adult Sunday school class has been going through the book of Nehemiah. Maybe when you come to Nehemiah chapter 3 in your Bible reading, it's not one of those it's not one of those exciting chapters. Let's say when you get to David and Goliath or something like that, or some very interesting story, but I believe it's here for a reason. And just try to pull a few good points out of it tonight. Just the story of Nehemiah has been a blessing to me through this. Even some of the things that we've been talking about, just how when the children of Israel were trying to do right in rebuilding the walls, and then what Rhonda said about Melissa tonight. Just, you know, she's gotten into church a few times, and then, boom, Jehovah's Witness shows up on her door, and like that, the cares of this world trying to snatch her away. So Nehemiah, well, just for those who, just real quick, Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king, the king of the world at the time, the most powerful man in the world. He had a great job. You couldn't ask for a better job. You're tasting food, the best food in the world, for the most powerful man in the world, for a living. And you spend all day with him every day. What a wonderful environment that would be. And then he got news from his brother about what was going on in Jerusalem. And then he had a burden for it, prayed about it for 4 months. Then the opportunity came where he could act upon that burden. And then here he is back in Jerusalem. Here he is, and then there's some people who instantly are upset that he's there. Upset, why are you here? We don't like that you're here. We don't like what you want to do. But the people, they said, let us rise up and build. They wanted to make a change, make things right. So that's kind of where chapter 2 ends. But chapter 3 goes through a number of different ways on how the people are working together. So tonight I want to talk about a lesson in what matters. I'm going to look at 4 points in a lesson in what matters. And these are 4 points that we see in these people, but they're 4 points, I believe, that are in a healthy church culture, in this church, that we could have. You know what we see here in Nehemiah chapter 3? We see a bunch of random people, a bunch of people who are from different places, that have different occupations. Some of them maybe were goldsmiths, as you'll see reading here. Some of them worked in the apothecary. You know, we have people here from all around the city, all around, people who have been born in other places and who have moved here. People of all different occupations, people of different likes, of different things. It's a random collection of people, the church is. But why is this here? Why is this chapter here? Why was this important? It's important enough to be preserved forever in the Word of God. So God had it in here for a reason, for these people. So firstly, I believe that the first reason, it's a cause that matters. It's the cause that matters. These people were serving for one cause, for one reason. They were all working together. Here in Nehemiah, they're all working to build the wall up, to have protection. Protection. If you didn't have protection around your city back then, you might as well just be camping out in the middle of a field, because that's what the cities needed. They needed a wall of protection. And often, and that's what we in this church need to work together towards a common goal. It's the cause that matters. There was people from outside of the wall, as you read here, and we're not going to go through the chapter, that read through it tonight. But you see people from Jericho and other places not far away who had come to help out. The people had that common goal of working on the wall. The people who were working there, they had different jobs. They had different shifts, different things that they were working on at different times of the day. They were working in different sections, like as we are here in this church. Maybe you're involved in a certain ministry. You have a certain job. You're involved in a ministry. Maybe you help out in teens. Maybe you help out in the school. Maybe you help out in Sunday school in the morning, or whatever, or if it's choir. There's so many things here. There's so many outreaches of this church. But there's sometimes we can lose the focus on the big picture, and we can get so into what we're working on. Like these people who are working on the wall, they're working on one section and forget all of you, and they just get so focused on this task and they forget about the big picture. We need to be concerned about the big picture and be focused on the big picture, which is Jesus Christ and serving him. Every job that we do here in this church needs to have focus, context on the big picture. We need to remember what it is and not get sidetracked on things. Because we're working for the cause. We're working for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I can just, there's the cleaning crew that comes through on the weekends. And you know what? We help out with that. And, you know, one of my least favorite things to do, we clean between, you know, the first middle door and the second one, kind of where all the classrooms are. You know what's in there? Bathrooms are in there. That's kind of, I get the bathrooms. They're not the most pleasant place. You know, I wear the gloves, okay, when I go in there, okay, because there's, if you've been in there, you understand. If you've cleaned in there, you understand. Okay, I don't need to get into it too much. But you know what else? Nonetheless, there's the glass doors, okay? And it takes a while to clean those glass doors. And then, let's say, the next day on Sunday, when you see some kids and, you know, and you're like, does that kid know how long? I went over that 3 times, and that kid doesn't care at all. But really, that kid is here. Somebody brought that kid here. You know, that kid is going to be learning about God in a period of time, if they haven't already. Forget about, you know, yeah, keep your hands off the glass, but hey, I'm glad you're here, okay? I could get so focused on, don't anybody touch anything. Everybody sit still, be quiet, and don't drop anything, wipe your shoes, take your, you know, but no, it's the people. It's the people. We can't get focused and go so get tied up in something that we forget about the people and the importance. The cause. The Bible talks about the local church. Our church as an extended metaphor. There's two kinds of ways. There's the temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he compares the church and the temple. But also in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4, about the local church and the body. Just as our body has so many members and, you know, all different from each other, so are we different from each other as members of this local church. You might say some members of your body are more important than others. You know, let's say your pinky toe is not huge on the list, okay? There's other things. Let's say compared to your heart or your brain or your liver or your arm or your leg. Hey, that's not important. But it has a purpose. You know, you hurt that thing. You know, you're going somewhere in the middle of the night, you hear a noise, and you stub it on something, it becomes real important real fast. You know, it's, hey, I'm right here. Watch out for me. You know, I have feelings too. Okay. Just as so many members here, we ought not to lose context and just get so developed in one thing that we lose focus of the cause itself. The church is made up of so many different parts. We're all different individual people. We must all see our job relative to the cause. Hey, how is whatever ministry I'm involved in, how is this helping the cause? How is this glorifying God? How is this helping the cause of Jesus Christ, edifying Him? Here in the book of Nehemiah, there's a couple of prophets or preachers that are Nehemiah, one of them. Ezra is another one. But also Malachi, the prophet Malachi, prophesied during the time of Nehemiah. And he was, Malachi chapter 1, he is very frustrated with how the people are behaving. The people weren't taking their jobs seriously. They weren't taking their jobs seriously at all. And chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says that they were snuffing at their jobs. They wanted the important job. They wanted to be appreciated in what they were doing. And the attitude was basically, oh, I guess I'll come and help. I guess I could show up. Just, there was no heart involved in it. They wanted the most important thing. They wanted to be recognized for what they were doing. Nehemiah responds to them in verse number 10. He says, is there anyone who will shut the door for naught? Hey, is there anybody who will do anything without being begged and pleaded for? Hey, if you could see that here. You know, you see something that needs to be done. You see something laying on the floor. You know, the most simplest thing. Hey, does somebody have to ask you to pick it up, or do you just see a need? Just something simple like that. You see something, you see a visitor walk in, and it's pretty full. Look around. You know, look around and say, hey, if it was you trying to come in, you'd be like, hey, can somebody help me? And a visitor in a strange place, and they're, hey, we should be glad that they're here. And help them. Just the little things. You know, don't get distracted in what you're doing and think, what I am doing, there's somebody there, they're looking for a seat, hey, they're a distraction to me. No. Be focused on the cause. The cause. What is our cause? It's that we glorify God by making his disciples. That's our cause. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to glorify God. That's why we're here. Revelation 4:11. That's why we're here, to give honor and glory to God. And by making disciples, to bringing folks in, having them be saved, and to grow and to learn. There's just on the point of all the jobs that we have in this church, and just to keep focused on the task, the cause. I was trying to think of a good way to illustrate this. Let's just say across the road we have the fire hall. Okay, let's just say we're all firemen tonight. Okay, we're all firemen, and we all have a job to do. Okay, we all have a job. So let's just say, Dave, you make the food. Okay, let's see, Rick, you grease the pole. Okay, Roger, you take care of the Dalmatian dog. Okay, I need somebody else to. Jonathan, you're going to wash and wax the trucks. Okay, okay. So we all have to remember our job. So what's our job? So Dave, what's your job?
Cook.
Jonathan, what's your job? Roger. Okay. Who else did I call on? Rick. No. Your job is to fight fires. Okay. That is your job, but the cause, the reason you're really there, is to fight fires. Okay, those are the things that you do when you're not fighting a fire. Those are the things you do to keep busy. Okay, if we get kind of like, okay, we're here to serve Jesus Christ. We're here to witness to people, to disciple people, to grow closer to him. So don't get caught up on that task where kids don't touch the glass. Stay out of the, don't even go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom at home. Okay, no. They're here. God has brought them here. You're here for a reason. It's the cause that matters. Secondly, people matter. If this building burnt down because these firefighters didn't do their job, you know, we could still meet somewhere. We could meet in a parking lot somewhere. We could meet in a tent. We are the church. It's not this building. We are the church. Don't get fixated so much on the job that you forget about the people. The people are so, so important. Paul the Apostle spends so much time talking about other people. Romans, probably one of the greatest doctrinal books in our Bible. He spends a whole last chapter just talking about people. Pretty much every book you go to in the beginning, he's edifying those, and he talks about, hey, watch out for this one. And even in Romans, he says, you know, watch out for, you know, Demas hath forsaken me, and Aquila and Priscilla, and so many others. He praises and he thanks them, and he knows them by name. Don't forget, know people's names. You know what we often get in the habit of, and pretty much everybody is, except for Megan tonight, we're in our assigned seats. We are, yeah. It's somebody else's fault. We're pretty much in our assigned seats. And we do that, okay? You know, like with Jen Wilcox and Roger, you know, and the primers, we have a few, like, you know, maybe little jokes or things that we all, but I'm sure this over here, you guys have a few things that you, and over here, and over, you know, there's, you sit around the same kind of people, but we ought to change it up occasionally. And if you're not comfortable doing that here, I understand. Don't sit right where next to where Mr. Jabisky is on Sunday morning. Don't sit there, whatever you do, okay? If you sit over there, you know what I'm talking about. Just don't sit there. Let's just say when we have fellowships, okay? When we have fellowships out here, don't always sit with the same people. Don't sit, you know, normally it's, you know, hey, my family just takes up all 8 spots at this table. Mix it up. Talk with other people. Get to know other people. When there's other people come in, let's say somebody, and you're like, hey, I've seen you around, but I don't know your name. What's your name? Get to know them. Talk to them. Talk with them. People are so important. It's let's not treat church like an event. You know, it breaks my heart when people, you know, closing prayer and all of a sudden, boom, out the door and car's already running and shoo, you know. Is that it? You know, is that why you're here? To be out? Hey, there's a time of fellowship to have here. There's a good bond in that we have, a good family, you know. Don't let it be like that. And I thank the Lord that we don't have a dues system here. You know, I was hoping the DeMayos would be here tonight. I don't know why they're here. They're always here. I don't know if they're sick, but whatever. They're in. They haven't been here very long. He's in the youth choir. They're involved in school. What a blessing that they are. It's not like, hey, you know, after a couple of years, they just got right in. Right in. Don't waste any time. Just get right in. There's no, I got to prove myself. No. People matter, and their names matter. There's so many names here mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 3. You know what God could have done with this wall around Jerusalem? Is it beyond God to have been able to speak and or just have Nehemiah speak and the wall just been brought back up, been rebuilt just as strong as it was before? Sure. If he could knock walls down, if he could part seas, if he could speak it all into existence, certainly he could have done that. But what did he do? He used people working together to accomplish the task. People working together. Gung-ho. Gung-ho, the phrase gung-ho. People working together. So, the cause matters, the people matter, and thirdly, organization matters. You might think organization in church, well, that's a dirty word in church, but no, Jesus was very organized. You know, I quickly read on Sunday night about the feeding of the 5,000, and what did he do? He had everybody sit in groups of 50 or 100, you know, so they could be easier, it was easier to minister to them. And then afterwards, gather everything up. Let's not waste anything. And then when he fed the 4,000, the same thing. Gathered up 9 baskets. When he was trying to evangelize the area around Nazareth, he sent out the disciples, you know, 12 of them in pairs of 2. Hey, let's go out here. And when they come back, hey, let me know. How did it go? When they were trying to evangelize Judea, he had a larger group there. He had 70, sent out 35 pairs. And he gave them instructions. Go here, talk to this one, take this, don't take this. He was very organized in what he did. We need to be organized. Don't shrink from organization. What gets organized gets done. It gets done. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Miha. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hanael. You know what they did here? They prioritized with the sheep gate. The sheep gate was special because that's where the offerings came in. Where they were going to sacrifice offerings, that's where that came in. He prioritized. So under organization, the first thing, they prioritized the work. Secondly, small groups of family members working together. We'll see that all throughout chapter 3. There's groups together. Hey, you people know how to work together. You know each other, you know how to work together, and he organized them working together towards a common goal. We have a lot of groups in here. We have, you know, there's the senior class that meets in here, there's the young adults, there's the teens, there's the middle class, I guess we're called. So we know each other. We're familiar with each other. What a blessing it was. I will never forget the opportunity, really, that it was when we built this addition and just everything that went on. There was the painters who were way behind schedule. Woo, couldn't believe it. Anyways, then there was the plumbers. Matt was a huge help with that. And then we had the electrical group. And I was thankfully on the electrical group. We had a great time. We had such fellowship. And it was such, I'll never forget some of the things that happened. I'll never forget, it's talked about the gas line that got ran over here. Oh, right over the ceiling. Remember that? I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm not doing that. Somebody else got to do that. Whew. Just some of the time we were able to spend working together towards a common goal of building this church building. Hey, maybe someday we'll have another one, right? No, I'm sure Pastor Joseph doesn't want anything to do with that. It's like two things you never want to do. Have a Christian school and build a building. And we were like doing both of those at the same time. Woo! Okay. But they prioritized the work. They set the sheep gate first. Small groups and family working together. And thirdly, he recognized people's skill sets and he worked within them. I think of Aholiab and Bezalel, these two that were working on the things with the tabernacle and just their fine craftsmanship, the talents that they had. Hey, God can use you in the talents that you have for the big picture, for doing things in this ministry. If you're good at dealing with people or with kids or whatever, God can use you. Be organized with those things. And thirdly, or next, clearly define goals and job descriptions. Let's just look at verse number 13. The Valley Gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the Dung Gate. They had a specific task that they had to do. He was very organized in what he told them to do. And you'll see that repeated throughout this chapter in many places. Hey, you work on this, you do exactly this, it'll meet up with this group, and then they do this. It was very well organized. And they had clear job descriptions. And then prayer and planning are not mutually exclusive. Sometimes you say, hey, let's just pray that the Lord of the harvest would bring in the folks. Hey, it's good to pray that God will bring lost people in here. But you know what? We got to plan and we got to do it. Make a plan for somebody. Make a plan for inviting your neighbor here, your lost relative. Pray for them, but also plan for them. Be organized about that. And lastly, for this one, he had an oversight. He knew what everybody was doing. Nehemiah lists all of these people by names. He was always, you don't see Nehemiah listed in this chapter, but he knew what everybody was doing. Hey, if you have a ministry, if you're in charge of a ministry here tonight, know what your people are doing, know their names, know what they're doing. Give honor to whom honor is due within your ministry. Hey, if somebody's doing a great job, let them know it. Say, hey, I really appreciate you. Just think about, like in the family relationship, if me as a father, if the only time I speak to my daughter is when she's doing something wrong, I'm gonna have a bad relationship with her. Hey, anytime dad talks to me, I'm getting yelled at. No. Let's have a tone of encouragement and edifying to those. Hey, when you do something right, or just in general, let's be uplifting and encouraging to those. Catch people doing right and recognize them. Look at verse number 20. This is just an adverb that's in here. After him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. You know, hey, everybody was working, but this guy was earnest. He was working especially hard. Nehemiah sees everybody, but hey, this guy over here, he's working especially hard. And you know what? It was recorded for eternity in our King James Bible that this man was doing. On the flip side of that, look at verse number 5. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their lord. Hey, there's some of the nobles of the Tekoites, they're like, they didn't work. They didn't help out. Like, hey, this is below our pay grade. No, we're not getting involved in this. And also, that is recorded for eternity. Hey, let's do what's right. Let's do what's right. I'm so glad that Nehemiah took time and effort to notice everybody and what they were doing. And he recognized them. So we see a cause matters, the people matter, organization matters, and lastly, attitude matters. Attitude matters. Your attitude determines your altitude. What was the people's attitude in the end of chapter number 2? We see arise and build. That's what the people said. Hey, let us arise and build. Let's do this. Let's secure our area here. You know, Nehemiah watered the ground, but then it just took off from the ground roots up. Hey, let's work together and do this. They were all in. all of them were in. I wonder if we could be like that here. If everybody was all in. If everybody tithed 10%. If everybody gave to missions. If everybody was a soul winner. If everybody was sold out to God. What would this church be like? Hey, let it start with me, O Lord. But just a couple of ways that our attitude matters. You know what? We ought to encourage unity. We really ought, you know, just, there should be no schism between us. There should be no division. We ought to encourage unity. Somebody comes up and says, hey, can I help out with that? Yes. Hey, is there room in your class? Yes. Can I get you another chair? Yes. Can I talk to you later? Yes. Can I help you with that? Yes. Can I get involved? Yes. There ought to be no discouragement. We ought to encourage everybody to help out and just have a spirit of unity. And secondly, they exercised flexibility. You think these people who are building the wall, do you think this is what their job was on a daily basis? No. Some of these people had other jobs. They were goldsmiths. They worked in the apothecary. Maybe they were blacksmiths. Maybe they were farmers. They were shepherds. But hey, you know what? There's a need. I'm going to go. I'm going to go and help on this wall, however I can help. If there's a job here, you know what? I might not be able to help with that, but you know what I could go? I could go and pour the lemonade for those that are working. We had a work day at the Seatmans, just cutting up wood for them. And you know who showed up? Grandpa Haight showed up. You know, you've all seen Grandpa Haight. You know, if I'm thinking about cutting, splitting, and stacking wood, Mr. Haight is not, unfortunately, on the top of my list. I'd love to have him just there, and he can tell me stories, you know, while we're going. But you know what he did? He sat down, and he ran the splitter for somebody. Just lever forward, lever back. Hey, he could do that. And he was there, and he helped. He was a great help. You need somebody to do that. I'm just thankful for that. Hey, it might not be something you normally do. Be flexible. Be flexible with your attitude. And thirdly, we ought to encourage unity, we ought to exercise flexibility, and thirdly, we ought to embrace humility. Really, the worst, pride is like the worst thing that can just help divide. Just have humility. Verse number 14, that's the last verse that we'll look at. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of the part of, oh boy, now I did it, Beth Hekarim, he built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Hey, the dung gate, you know. That refers to manure or the waste, the refuse that gets taken out. Everything gets taken out through this gate. Hey, these ones were responsible for repairing that. That takes some humility to work on that gate. Hey, I'd rather work on the sheep gate, but somebody had to work on this one. It took a little bit of humility for that. Just in thinking about building of this building, there was one there was one day I don't even remember what I was doing, probably working on some lights over in probably about Mr. McDowell's classroom area, and Pastor Huber came in and started talking to me, just kind of sat down, took a break, and I could tell he was a bit, he needed a break. I could just tell. And it turns out what happened, and something tells me if he was going through this and reading this passage, he would give this illustration. I can just see it. You know how you know somebody and you know what they would say in this situation? I feel like he would say this. What happened was him and Jay Landers were down in the basement, and maybe you've been down there, if you can make it down there. There's a big sewer pipe down there, and they had to do some work on it, and there was a bit of back pressure on that. You remember this, Matt? Oh, yeah. Matt is very familiar with this story. And, you know, that's, you know, not something you really want to do. I mean, those gloves that I used to clean the bathrooms, you know, we're way, way beyond that. You know, you're in the full, you know, suit and everything. You know, the firefighters, if you could borrow one of your suits. So they're over there. There's some back pressure. But they have a garbage can, you know, like a 30-gallon garbage can right there just to catch any back pressure. Yeah, well, they popped that off, that lid, and it went in the garbage can, and that garbage can filled up in about the count of 8. You know, and water wasn't stopping. And you know it was at the bottom of that garbage can, the cap to put back on the pipe. And somebody had to stick their hand in there. And those two, you know, had a certain bond that just was birthed that day. But, you know, but they did it. They did it. And sure, we joke about it, we laugh about it after, and they, you know, the story gets manipulated, you know, it gets worse every time. But you just think about, I am so thankful for just the humility that was presented that day. And this is the lesson that it was to me. Like, hey, forget about it. You know, sometimes we just take ourselves too serious. You know, okay, just take a shower afterwards. Okay, we don't have to. But they took care of it. It was a need that had to be done. Something that had to be done for the building to continue. So for our attitude, encourage you to unity, exercise flexibility, and embrace humility. You know, attitude matters. It so matters. You know, I can't control your attitude, but I can control mine. I can control mine. And if we could all control ours, what could this place be? Hey, we gotta remember the cause, because it matters. Jesus Christ is the cause. Winning souls to Him. The people matter. Well, I love you people. I love this place. I've been here. This is home. You know, this is home. Just quickly, Megan was talking about the Catholic Church and some of the... I've been to a few Catholic funerals, and it breaks my heart. Really, it breaks my heart when the priest gets up there, and maybe you've seen this, and he doesn't even know the name, or he calls him something else. And I'm like, really? Really? What kind of... And maybe they... I don't know if they came every Sunday for 45 minutes, and then... I don't know. But to know their name, and what we have here, and when there's a service here, and people are getting up and saying, what a blessing, and this is family, and it is. It is. Don't lose that. We have something special here. And there's no dues to be paid. Hey, you're in. We ought to remember that. Forget the humility. Organization matters, but our attitude. Well, let's keep our attitude what it should be, and the cause what it is. It's so important. Why are we here? To honor and glorify Him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for tonight, Lord. I thank You for, Lord, just this passage, Lord, that might be that I've overlooked so many times. Lord, thank You for just bringing a few things out tonight. I thank You for the cause. Lord, I thank You for just giving Your Son to die for us, Lord, and just the home that we could have in heaven someday. Thank You for all that, how You've blessed us, Lord. Bless our men as they're be traveling back tomorrow. Protect them. Thank You for just our government. Lord, I pray that You'd bless our leaders tonight. Please bless our church and our family. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.